The General Electric Theater, tonight starring James and Pamela Mason. This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the General Electric Theater, presented by the makers of famous, dependable kitchen and home laundry appliances, General Electric. Tonight we bring you James and Pamela Mason in Edmund Rostand's Cyrano de Bergerac. Tonight, the General Electric Company is privileged to present one of the most famous plays ever written. First produced half a century ago, it attained an overnight success that has never before or since been surpassed in the history of the theater. And to star in this great drama, we have with us two of Hollywood's most accomplished actors. It is with great pride that we bring you a transcription of Edmund Rostand's immortal play, Cyrano de Bergerac, starring James and Pamela Mason. But first, good news! General Electric rings the bell with a wonderful contest for you. Enter GE's great Ring the Bell contest, and you may win a brand new 11 cubic foot General Electric refrigerator with GE automatic defrosting, General Electric's new Roto Cold, GE's full width freezer compartment, and GE's new adjustable sliding and aluminum shelves. To enter this grand GE contest, look for the Ring the Bell contest banner in your GE dealer's window. There's a gift for every housewife and lots of free prizes. Costs you nothing to enter. Just walk into your GE dealer's and receive as a gift a handsome dinner bell with a clear, silvery tone. Your GE dealer will tell you how this same bell may win you a very special prize. Go to any GE dealer with a Ring the Bell contest banner in his window and find out how you can win a new General Electric refrigerator. Now, the first act of Cyrano de Bergerac, starring James and Pamela Mason.
Of my dear, dear friend, one can only say magnificent. Poet, swordsman, physicist, musician, he strode the streets of Paris with pride and insolence. His hat with proud white plume, doublet with twice triple skirt, cloak lifted behind by his interminable rapier, lifted in pomp like the insolent tail of a cock. Prouder than all the Artabans that Gascony ever bred, he strode in his stiff punchinello ruff, airing a nose... But words do fail me.
Enormous, my nose. Contemptible stutterers, snub-nosed and flat-headed, be it known to you that I am proud, proud of such an appendage, inasmuch as a great nose is properly the index of an affable, kindly, courteous man, witty, liberal, brave, such as I am, and you, gentlemen, are not. I would give warning to the idle who might find entertainment in my organ of smell.
But in every company there will be one who must spring to the challenge.
Sir, Your nose is very large.
Very. Ha! Is that all?
But,
young man, that is not enough. You might have said, dear me, there are a thousand things varying in tone. For instance, aggressive. I, monsieur, if I had such a nose, nothing would serve, but I must cut it off. Amicable. It must get in your way while drinking. You ought to have a special beaker made. Descriptive. It is a crag, a peak, a promontory. A promontory, did I say? It's a peninsula. Tender. Have a little sunshade made for it, monsieur. It might get freckled. Deferent. Suffer, monsieur, that I should pay my respects. That is what I call possessing a house of your own. Or finally, in parody of Weeping Pyrrhonus, behold, behold the nose that traitorously destroyed the beauty of its master and is blushing for the same. That, my dear sir, is how you might have spoken, had you the smallest leaven of letters or of wit. Having not one jot of either, you have determined to play the boor, and so you shall. En garde, my dear sir, to the death!
That was the Cyrano the people of Paris knew. Brilliant, flashing, flamboyant, a hero to the cadets of his fighting troop, those young men who served in his company of guardsmen. But there was another Cyrano, revealed only to myself, your humble servant, Lebray.
She wants to meet with me, Lebray.
Who?
Roxanne. Roxanne, who but Roxanne?
Splendid.
No. No, I'm afraid.
You? Afraid? Of what?
Of love. Of even the dream of love and being loved. That dream is made empty indeed by this good nose, my forerunner ever. And yet, I do love the most beautiful, the most resplendent and delicate of wit, the golden haired, a snare of nature's own, a musk rose in which ambush love lies low.
You love her? Tell her so. You are for her covered in glory. Tell her, Cyrano, you must. When do you meet her?
Tonight, at the cookshop of poets.
But the cadets will be there.
You keep them away, Lebray, until she's gone.
Ah, you may rely on me.
Blessed evermore among all hours, the hour in which you were so gracious as to come to tell me.
To tell you, dearest cousin, that there is someone whom I love.
Ah.
But he does not know it.
Ah.
As yet. But soon he will. A poor boy who until now has loved me timidly from a distance without daring to speak.
Oh.
And, cousin, is it not a strange coincidence that he should serve in the same regiment as do you?
Go on.
Yes, in the same company.
Yes.
He bears plain upon his forehead the stamp of wit, of genius. He is proud, noble, young, brave, handsome.
Handsome?
What is the matter?
Why, nothing.
I love him. He is a cadet in your company.
His name?
Baron Christian de Nervelay.
Not in my company.
Yes, dear Cyrano. Since this morning.
I see. And why have you come to tell me this?
I want you to befriend him. He is not like you.
Handsome.
Yes, and delicate. Befriend him, dear Cyrano, for my sake.
I will, for your sake.
I've always felt for you the tenderest regard.
Yes, yes.
A thousand prayers will I make for you, dear cousin. And now, I must go. Goodbye.
Yes, yes. Goodbye, Roxanne. Goodbye.
To put it straight, women have always looked upon me with favor, Cyrano. And yet, I am one of those who do not know how to talk of love. Had I but an eloquence...
Eloquence I will lend you, Christian. And you to me shall lend all-conquering physical charm. And between us we will compose a hero of romance.
What?
Roxanne shall not be disillusioned by your dull wit and puerile tongue. I will talk for you, write for you, think for you. And through me you will reach through to the paradise which is her soul. And it would amuse me. It's an experiment surely fit to catch the fancy of a poet. Look you, Christian. Tonight we will walk side by side, you in the full light, I in your shadow. I shall be wit to you, and you, to me, shall be good looks.
Who calls my name? Who stands below in the moonlight?
It is I, Christian.
Oh.
I love you.
Yes. Speak to me of your love.
I love you.
But you've already said that.
But I love you very much.
So much for the theme. Now play variations on it.
I love...
Variations.
I adore you.
Is that all?
Very much.
And?
And I love you, Roxanne. Tell me, do you love me?
Good night, Christian.
No, wait. Help me, Cyrano.
Step back in the shadow, quickly. Roxanne!
What, still there?
Still here. Forever here, Roxanne. Forever and a night. And song and kiss.
Better. Much, much better.
I was bewildered, dearest lady. It is, after all, the first time I have spoken to you. I am bewildered, struck dumb by the very fact of my own presumption.
You were speaking of a kiss.
Ah, a kiss. When all is said, what is a kiss? An oath of allegiance taken in closer proximity. A promise more precise than mere words. A secret which elects the mouth for an ear. An instant of eternity, murmuring like a bee. Balmy communion with a flavor of flowers. Roxanne. Roxanne.
How you do speak my name. Christian. Christian, my darling. My love. The vine is strong. Do but climb to me and you shall have the kiss. Tasting of the heart.
Go.
Now.
Murmuring like
yes,
a bee.
Yes, now. Hurry.
My darling, I come to you.
I don't think I ought to.
Making eternity.
Go, donkey. Scale the balcony.
All right, and thanks.
Roxanne?
Shh. Speak no more.
What a turn of the screw to my heart. Kiss. I am Lazarus at this banquet of love. But a crumb drops from your table, even to me, here in the shade. Yes, in my outstretched heart a little falls. As I feel how Roxanne kisses the words spoken by me. Roxanne. Roxanne. Oh, my dear Roxanne.
Everybody's talking about space these days, and we don't mean just the science fiction writers. If you have a small kitchen, you've probably said to yourself, how am I going to fit a modern electric range in here? Well, now you can. Even if you have only 3 feet of space, you can fit the handsome new General Electric 36-inch Spacemaker range in it. This 36-inch GE range gives you full-scale GE speed cooking, has the most important cooking features of a full-size GE range. That's right. Everything from GE push-button controls to a GE automatic oven timer that watches over meals while they cook themselves. And that's not all. This General Electric range is only 36 inches wide, yet the oven is so huge you can bake 4 cakes on a single shelf at the same time. This GE range also has an extra high-speed Calrod cooking unit for extra fast cooking starts. Why not ask your GE dealer how you can own a new 36-inch General Electric Spacemaker range for only about $2.96 a week after small down payment. And now with our stars, James and Pamela Mason, we bring you the second act of Cyrano de Bergerac.
So they were wed, Roxanne and Christian, wed through the fire and passion of Cyrano's rhetoric. But it was a marriage not destined to be consummated, for on that very evening, even as they were bidding farewells to the good friar, news came of war. Spain was at the bastions, and Cyrano's regiment was ordered to the front. Roxanne, frightened and miserable, sought him out.
Do not be alarmed, Roxanne. I will allow no harm to come to him.
If he were to die, then I should die too. Oh, Cyrano, if you could but know him.
Methinks I do.
You know but the outer man. Oh, I will grant he is fair of face and figure, but there is so much more to Christian, such depth and passion and fire and beauty to his soul.
His soul?
It is sometimes almost as though he were two persons.
What do you mean, Roxanne?
At times he seems quite simple and, well, almost ordinary. And at those times, I know that other person is slumbering within him. And then there are the letters.
Letters?
His letters. How marvelously does he express his love. How fantastic is his mode. But here, I have one. Let me read it to you.
Pray do.
Listen to this. The more of my heart you steal from me, the more heart I have. He goes on. Since you have stolen my heart, and since I must suffer, Roxanne, to suffer with, send me your own.
First he has too much heart, now he has not enough. These letters, are there many?
Yes.
And you treasure them?
I read them all, every night. And shall, until you do bring him back to me, safe and sound.
But he will write to you from the front.
In battle? Oh, I could not permit it. He would not have the time. It would be unsafe.
Do not trouble your head, my pretty one. He will write.
For weeks we held Arras in siege. It was an excellent tactical maneuver, but we were without food and water. It was a case of the besieger besieged, and had it not been for Cyrano, the cadets might long since have become disheartened and rebellious. Cyrano. I watched him and wondered at his strength. When did he sleep? By day he led his men on forays against the enemy. By night he wrote letters, Christian's letters of love to Roxanne, and he crept secretly across the field of battle, alone and at great peril, to see that they were posted. Christian? He slept the sleep of the just, of the innocent, of the happily beloved.
Christian.
Roxanne.
Wake up, Christian.
Oh, Cyrano. What's wrong?
Are you awake?
Yes, yes, what is it?
There'll be a fight today. A big one.
Splendid.
You don't understand. In this one, you may be injured. Or worse.
That doesn't matter.
I thought you ought to have this on your person.
A letter?
To Roxanne. Just in case. A last letter.
Oh, let me look at it. What's this? A tear? The writing is blurred.
Well, Christian, a poet is sometimes caught in his own snare. That's what constitutes the interest, the charm.
Cyrano.
This letter, you see, is really very touching. Why, even I was moved when I was writing it. I do believe it made me shed a tear or two.
But why?
Well, Christian, let me explain. To die is not terrible at all. You must believe me in this. I've seen many men die, but to die now means you would never see her again. Never. That fact is horrible beyond all thinking. And things having taken the turn they have, I shall not see her, and we shall not... that is, you shall not see her.
Give me the letter.
Yes, here you are. Tuck it away safely.
Cyrano.
Yes?
It's you she loves.
No.
It is you she loves, you know it.
No, no, no.
Yes, Cyrano. Your voice, your letters, your soul. You.
The cannon. The Spaniards signal the attack.
Cyrano, if anything should happen to me, promise that you will go to her and tell her the truth.
The truth? What is the truth?
That it is you she loves, that the words and the beauty were yours.
Nothing will happen to you, Christian. Come to the bastion.
Promise me.
Very well. I promise.
Good. And now, my captain, let us have at the enemy.
So he is dead, Cyrano. You were the only one that truly knew him. Was he not an exquisite being, an exceptional, marvelous being?
Yes, Roxanne.
A poet without his peer, one verily to reverence.
Yes, Roxanne.
A sublime spirit.
Yes.
And he is dead. Upon his letter, blood, tears, see? I kiss the spots. His blood. His tears. He is gone and I shall never hear his voice again. Never. Never. Never.
The years passed. 5, 10. 15, and in their passing there wrought there many changes on us all. Cyrano grew gray and grizzled, and his enemies multiplied. Although he still wore his sword and his proud white plume, the threats against him became more open. There were attempts on his life. The man simply would not hold his tongue. He wrote and he spoke out against fraud in every embodiment. Usurpers, pious pretenders, plagiarists, asses in lion's skins, all. And each Saturday afternoon, wearing his ancient black cape, he made his way to the little park behind the convent of the Sisters of the Cross, to the little park wherein lay his happiness.
Sister Roxanne.
Cyrano. After 14 years, for the first time, you were late.
Yes, it seems incredible. I was detained in spite of all I could do.
Here, sit by me. Because you are late, I shall not let you go before evening.
Perhaps I shall have to go a little earlier.
The leaves, they fall so soon this year.
But in that brief fluttering from bough to ground, how they contrive still to put beauty in that brief moment before they are to molder upon the earth. How they make their fall with all the grace of a free bird's flight.
Cyrano, don't be serious today. Come, I want my budget of news.
News? Oh, yes. News. Sunday, at the Queen's Ball, were burned 763 wax candles. Tuesday, the whole court assembled at Fontainebleau. Thursday, Mancini, Queen of France, oh, little less. The fair Mongla said to Count Fiasco, yes. And Saturday, the 26th...
Cyrano.
It's nothing. Nothing, I assure you. Old wound. It's past.
Are you sure?
Quite. It is past. I must apologize for frightening you.
Each of us has his wound. I, too, have mine. It is here. Never to heal, that ancient wound. Beneath the yellowing letter on which are still faintly visible teardrops and drops of blood.
His letter? Did you not say that some day you might show it to me? May I see it now? Today. I want to.
Here, you may open it.
Goodbye, Roxanne. I am going to die.
Why do you read it aloud?
It is fated to come at this time, beloved, I believe. My soul is heavy, oppressed with love it had not time to utter. And now time is at end. Never again shall my worshipping eyes...
That's strange.
...whose passionate revel it was, kiss in its fleeting grace your every gesture. One usual to you of tucking back a little curl comes to mind, and I cannot refrain from crying out, goodbye.
You read it.
My dearest, my darling.
In a voice.
My treasure.
A voice.
My love.
Which I have heard before. How can you read? It's almost dark and you are not looking at the paper. You, for 14 years, have played the part of the comical old friend who came to cheer me.
Roxanne.
It was you.
No.
I should have known by the way you speak.
Not
my
I.
Name.
I swear to you.
The letters were yours.
No.
You loved me.
No, my darling. I did not love you.
And why? Why over these years have you been silent? When even the tears on this paper were your tears.
The blood was his.
Why let the sublime bond of this knowledge be loosed now, on this day?
Madame! Sister! Sister Roxanne!
Over here. It is your friend, Lebray.
Here he is. Madness! Monstrous madness!
What's wrong?
Madame, he is likely to have got his death by getting out of bed.
A moment ago, that faintness, then that...
I had not finished telling you the news. And on Saturday, the 26th, about an hour after sundown, Monsieur de Bergerac died of murder done upon him.
What is he saying? Cyrano, what have they done to you?
My life long, I have lived by the sword. Am I to die by the sword? No. I die of a trap. Attacked from behind by a lackey with a log. In my whole life, I shall not have had anything I wanted. Not even a decent death.
Cyrano, I have hurt you. I have wrecked your life.
The reverse. Woman's sweetness had I never known but yours. Roxanne. Across my life... There has passed the rustle of a woman's gown, a fragrance, a loveliness.
Cyrano, my friend.
But now there comes another lady. She is not fair of face. An epitaph. I have an epitaph. Not yet, dark lady. A moment, I beg of you. Philosopher and physicist, musician, rhymester, duelist, explorer of the upper blue, retorter apt with point and point, lover as well, not for his peace. Here lies Hercule Savignon de Cyrano de Bergerac, who was everything but of account. And now I must go. See, a moonbeam come to take me home. The moonbeam. Ah, my white plume.
In the words of another poet, the rest is silence.
James and Pamela Mason will be back in just a moment. Wash day was never like this. Oh, wash day was never as easy as it is today with a new General Electric automatic washer, because a GE gives you the whitest, brightest wash ever. You see, in many old-fashioned tumbler-type washers, the clothes are tumbled round and round, so they're out of the water much of the time. But GE's new automatic washer has activator washing action. That means that clothes are flood-washed, flood-rinsed, submerged in water all the time. And in many old-style tumbler-type washers, the dirty water drains through the clothes, putting the dirt right back in the freshly washed pieces. But in General Electric's new automatic washer, GE's sensational spin drying spins the dirty water up, out, away from the clothes, so you're bound to get a cleaner wash. You can own this new GE automatic washer for only about $3.90 a week after down payment. See your GE dealer tomorrow. And now our stars, James and Pamela Mason.
May I say, Ken, that I've always found General Electric appliances an invaluable addition to the comfort of life in America, and I believe my wife will agree with me.
Indeed I do.
Oh, thank you both. But tell me, Pamela, have you seen your husband's new picture yet?
Yes, I have, Ken, and it's terribly exciting. It's MGM's production of Julius Caesar.
Don't you think that you should add that I'm not exactly starring in the picture, but rather co-starred with a number of very famous names?
Of course. Well, there's also John Gielgud, Louis Calhoun, Marlon Brando, and Edmund O'Brien.
Well, that's quite a cast. It must be a great picture.
Yes, I honestly believe it is, Ken.
I hope I can see it soon. And thank you both for being with us tonight.
It's been a pleasure.
Good night, everybody.
General Electric Theater has brought you Cyrano de Bergerac, starring James and Pamela Mason. Featured in tonight's cast were Dan O'Herlihy and Ben Wright. Cyrano de Bergerac was written by Edmund Rostand and adapted for radio by James Poe, with editorial supervision by Het Mannheim and music by Wilbur Hatch. General Electric Theater was transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle. This is Ken Carpenter inviting you to be with us next week at this same time when General Electric, makers of famous, dependable kitchen and home laundry appliances, will bring you Miss Joan Fontaine in The Enchanted Cottage on the General Electric Theater. Join us, won't you?
This is the CBS Radio Network.